calling our meeting back to order, and we're ready for the CTC presentation. I'll just turn it over to you.
Great. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael O'Halloran with CTC Technology and Energy. I'm an analyst with CTC. On the line, we have Joanne Hovis, our president, and Heather Mills, our director of operations, and a senior grant writer.
Michael, would you put that microphone right in front of you?
I would be happy to. I'm going to let Joanne kick it off for us.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Joanne.
Great. Thank you. So we're really delighted to be able to present to you this morning the results of a number of months of work in collaboration with county stakeholders, as well as the towns and the private sector and a number of other interested entities. What we have for you this morning is a draft RFP that we have written in collaboration with your colleagues and your local stakeholders, and we also have a draft grant application. And we're going to describe these to you, hopefully answer any questions you have, and then seek your authorization to go forward with executing with regard to both of these. I'm going to briefly describe the high overall strategy and what we're attempting to accomplish, and then hand it over to my colleagues to go into considerably more detail. Let me start with the big picture, which is that we have discussed throughout this process, since you engaged us to help you with broadband planning, the goals are around economic development and opportunity and diversification and securing future-proof infrastructure that will serve as a foundation for economic activity and opportunity in the county for a very long time to come. And we stay focused on that throughout. The goal is also to enable private sector opportunity and innovation and competition. There is no element of what we are considering or putting before you today that involves the county going into competition with the private sector or becoming an internet service provider of anything or anything of the sort. It's much more along the lines of the county working with federal and state partners to try to create an infrastructure platform that will allow the private sector to innovate and thrive and compete within Sublette County. The third goal is to create this opportunity and engage this entire process, but to do it in a way that greatly minimizes the risk to the county. There's nothing about what we are proposing to you today that locks you into any kind of significant financial commitment or that obligates you to undertake a partnership, to bond, to spend significant funds, or anything of the sort. Rather, the entire strategy from the beginning has been crafted to allow you at every stage to evaluate your options and to choose to change course if you feel that the risk is too great. And I want to emphasize that last point because everything about what we're putting in front of you today is designed to enable you to test the market and to test whether the federal government will support your economic development efforts. Even if you approve everything that we have for you to look at today, none of it will commit you. It's all designed to enable you to find out on the RFP side first, is there a private partner who will work collaboratively with the county, who will share risk, who will invest, who will be as committed to this vision as the county itself is? And if it materializes, if it turns out that we do not get the kinds of responses to the RFP that satisfy what you're looking for around opportunity and risk mitigation, you're certainly not locked into going with a proposal that does not satisfy you. So that's one risk mitigation strategy. And with regard to the federal grant, if the grant is not awarded or it is not awarded at a level that gives you confidence that this is sufficient funding to reduce the county's risk and long-term financial commitment, then you are not obligated either to go forward with the private partner or the project in general or the federal grant funding. So another way of putting this is that there are exit ramps from this process throughout. The process is designed to allow you to explore, gather as much information as possible, and hopefully have a very concrete sense of where you are before you make any binding commitment. So that's the big picture framework here. With regard to the RFP, which Michael will speak about in just a couple of minutes, the RFP is designed to solicit concrete proposals from private sector companies with numbers attached that the companies are committing they will be willing to stand by through enforceable contracts. Concrete proposals for a partnership in which the company or companies proposing would lease from the county the assets that would presumably be built with local, federal, and state funds, assuming that all of the grant opportunities turn out the way we hope they will. And so what the RFP process will do is allow us to validate that the RFI responses, we got information and expressions of interest from the companies, but now we're seeking concrete and binding commitments. This will allow us to validate that there do indeed exist, as we believe is the case, one or more private entities that will happily work in partnership with you for win-win outcomes. That's the goal of the RFP. It's to concretize what was not yet concrete in the context of the RFI. But again, if the outcome is not what you are seeking, there's no obligation to award a contract. With regard to the grant application, it's a similar type of effort. It's to determine whether this program is fundable by the federal government. We are optimistic about this. We believe it is at least partially fundable through an EDA grant, and Michael and Heather will share their insights on that with you. We feel quite good about that. And the federal grant application is the first step. We are also deep in the process of developing a state grant application, the idea being that ideally two grants, one awarded federally, one by the state, would then supplement local investment and private sector investment to create a coherent whole. So let me stop there with that overview and big picture and ask Michael to share with you more detail about the RFP and what is contemplated there and the review process we went through with your stakeholders and, of course, with the county's attorney to ensure that this was a document that they were comfortable with. Over to you, Michael.
Thanks, Joanne. Okay, so as Joanne said, we have been part of an iterative process with both the Broadband Planning Committee and Mr. Matt Gaffney reviewing versions of this RFP draft. The substantial amount of work was reflected in the version that was distributed in your books, I believe, a week ago. There have been some updates to that, especially based on the guidance that we received from Mr. Gaffney. That strengthens the language that says that the county is not bound to act if it does not wish to. We've also added some information indicating that confidential material included in responses would be redacted in the event that one of the that there is a Wyoming Public Records Act request to encourage the private sector respondents to offer as much detail as possible, so they're not worried about that. Other than that, one topic that Joanne did not touch on is that there is a consideration in this RFP for connectivity for first responders. And of course, in the current times, that's obviously more important than ever. So as I said, there's not much different from the draft that was distributed to you, other than the guidance that was provided by Mr. Gaffney. We've also opened up a little bit more language in the section that discusses the routes. We've tried to keep the options as open as possible for potential responders to indicate what they prefer. We have included Mr. Sharkey's report. Joe Sharkey was the consultant who completed the study in early 2017. We've included those routes as potential first cut at the routes, but we've kept it open so that if anyone who is responding to the RFP thinks it's better, for example, to enter the county through Rock Springs rather than from the north along 189, they can do so. The response is structured so that the respondents can look, we've proposed a criteria to evaluate these responses. And it's clearly delineated within the RFP. Nothing has changed to that. But what we're looking at are the proposed service prices to offer to the businesses. We're looking at the impact of the proposed partnership on potentially deploying fiber to residences, especially in Pinedale, Big Piney, and Marbleton. We've looked at, we're including evaluation of the proposed lease rate, so making sure that it makes a viable business case for the county to pursue this. We look at the technical capabilities and track record of the respondent to ensure that it is a viable partner and that the county will be not left with an ineffective partner. Other than that, the financial viability of the respondent, a commitment to fiber maintenance. So this RFP indicates that the private partner will be responsible for maintaining the fiber and that the county does not assume any of the maintenance. Very, very clearly, that was especially important to Mr. Albert Summers, who I know you guys know has been instrumental to the development of this entire effort. But that is, in one regard, a way to ensure that the county is as hands-off as possible while also facilitating next-generation connectivity. Other than that, as I mentioned, we have the impact of this partnership on providing connectivity to first responders, and last but not least, a commitment to protect consumer privacy. The schedule that we have proposed in the RFP right now, provided the RFP is approved today, we would have it released on Friday the 5th, with responses returning November 9th, so that's a six-week turnaround when we would have a better idea of what we're looking at. Of course, since this is a more formal RFP than an RFI, we'll have much more substantial information, we hope, than the more high-level responses that we received from the RFI. Are there any questions on the RFP?
Let's see. Last night I saw that there was an update at 10:22, and I have to admit I was in my footy jammies at 10:22, and
I
was asleep.
I understand.
And I have not had a chance to look at it.
Okay.
Can you give me the Reader's Digest condensed version of what those changes are?
I am happy to. I actually, in the distribution email, I have them bulleted. So they are, per Mr. Gaffney's guidance, we included language that states that this RFP does not compel the county to act. Per Mr. Gaffney's guidance, we strengthened language that requested that respondents indicate any confidential or proprietary information within their response, and stated that in the event of a Wyoming Public Records Act request, such information would be redacted before disclosure. We strengthened the language indicating that the respondent can choose any route into the county, and we added discussion that the fiber is intended to pass the school complexes in Big Piney and Pinedale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Could you, expound or explain on how you improved on the language for routing the fiber to the county? What was that in reference to? Was that under the plan fiber route or conduit route?
Yeah, so it is in section 3. We start with on page
66.
Right. So we start by actually describing the routes that are in Mr. Sharkey's report. Then what we have added to it is on the top of what is now page 7, we've added the following language. The routes proposed in this RFP are the consortium's first cut at what it believes are the most useful routes. However, the consortium welcomes responses that propose routes that the respondent believes will be optimal, including the respondent's preferred path into the county, i.e. via Jackson, Rock Springs, LaBarge, etc. The consortium anticipates that final routes will be negotiated after selecting a viable partner.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
With the conduit going whichever route, mm-hmm. whether it's through Pinedale, through Big Piney, mm-hmm. to Daniel, and then on into Bondurant,
mm-hmm.
and then to the county line, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
who will benefit from the line going from Bondurant to the county line?
That is, Joanne, I'm going to defer to you.
You're talking coming south?
No.
Going north.
Hi.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, if I heard the question correctly, it was who would benefit from that particular route?
Yes.
The route from Bondurant north to the county line.
To the county line.
So, the vision, I think, is for county funding to be spent on infrastructure that is only within the county and that then connects to infrastructure that is ideally provided by another entity, potentially by the private partner, connecting the routes within the county to the internet backbone to other major interconnection points. And in that way, you think of fiber and conduit infrastructure as very much akin to major roads and highways, that the long haul routes and backbone of the internet are like the interstate highway system, which is obviously an important factor for you there and connecting there. And then the big middle mile routes are the state highways that allow folks to get from the big interstates into communities and deep into counties. That is the vision. That piece is the vision that we have for this effort, for county investment within the county in partnership with other entities outside the county to connect to the internet backbone. So we have to wait and see what the partners are offering and what their concrete proposals are, but that is the view. And even for a fiber route that is within the county, but not necessarily directed or routed directly to where population is, the vision is that much as with state highways or major roads, the connectivity afforded there creates the opportunity for commerce that is critical to everyone living within the county. The final piece, of course, is the last mile, which is the part of the network that connects to homes and businesses. And some of that is contemplated here as well. But the vision here is also that the county's investment in those state or county highways will then lead to last mile investment by private entities. I hope I'm adequately answering the question.
Mr. Chairman, yeah.
Go ahead.
Just to complete it. Joanna is correct, and the other aspect is going from Bondurant to the county line actually gets us in line going to Seattle. So there's been a lot of talk of doing like a direct Denver-Seattle broad long haul. So by going north in there, we tie into the line that goes that direction.
I understand that. And the county is only going to pay to the end of our county line.
Correct.
So I've not seen Teton County's name in any document that says, what's Teton County? Because we've spent the money to come from Rock Springs all the way, or from LaBarge,
right,
all the way to almost to Teton County, and are they going to help us pay for what we've already done to do exactly what you just said?
And I think Commissioner Rumble, that one of the discussions we've had with a couple of privates is they would actually come in that direction.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
The private partners or the providers would show interest in tying in from Hoback Junction to Bondurant to the county line. That's their skin in the game. So it doesn't necessarily have
that's
to be,
exactly
it doesn't have to be
that's Teton very much
County
our plan.
Or Lincoln County.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting.
It doesn't necessarily.
If I can just add one thought, which is we would not want your entire strategy to be dependent on another county that may or may not be focused on broadband choosing to act. What we are hoping will happen here is that this business opportunity will be so attractive to a private company that that private company will make the investment necessary to make the connections to effectively tie the county's fiber and conduit infrastructure to the rest of the world, going in multiple directions, north up through Jackson, obviously, but also south to the interstate and thereby to Denver and Phoenix and so on. I think the critical piece from the county standpoint is to be sure that it's independent of somebody else's decision making and has this control over its own future.
So my question is premature until the RFP comes in and sees who is willing to pay the money.
Right.
And then we ask that question again.
They'll make that money on, you know, sending data to Seattle. Absolutely. That won't be on us.
Okay. But
yeah.
Okay.
Because you're right. Keep down right there.
Okay. Commissioner Bowser.
Question, and it may be a dumb question. I admit I'm not a computer. I don't understand a lot of this stuff. But question is, does this RFP include an explanation of our existing fiber going through the county? And so anybody that responds would have the opportunity to analyze what their options may be to hook into what we already have, I guess.
So we're including as an appendix to the report, Joe Sharkey's report, and I believe there is discussion of existing fiber in there. The RFP itself does not discuss that topic.
I can add to that also that this is an area where we have confidence that the private sector has quite a bit of information. If they are interested in investing in the county, or if they already have a presence in the county, as a couple of the RFI respondents do, they're already very knowledgeable about what infrastructure is there and, frankly, where the gaps are and thus where the business opportunity for them is. And part of the insight, I think, of the way you're approaching this effort is trying to leverage that private sector knowledge and capability and know-how and insight to the business opportunity. So to some degree, we trust to them to figure out where they have opportunity to use existing assets and where they think it will benefit them and the county to build new assets.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have another question.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
In the reference to governance, in the past, when it comes up to a project, whether we fund the project or we don't fund the project, the maintenance of the project has always been a real sticker with the commission. Mm-hmm. In other words, we may be able to do something, but we don't want to take care of it after it's done. Somebody else, we want somebody else to take care of it.
Right.
Off of our plate. Mm-hmm. So then again, maybe my question is premature. That discussion will take place, and as far as if the county winds up paying 50% mm-hmm. of this project, are we in charge of this project?
Okay, so we actually, that's a good question, and the maintenance of the asset is always a sticky situation. To that end, we have included multiple statements in the RFP that says that the partner will be exclusively responsible for the maintenance, and a condition of the response is that they must affirm that they will be entirely responsible for the maintenance.
Okay, and now that you say that, you did say that earlier.
I understand.
I was reading.
We even added the language to the RFP that their maintenance also covers the emergency systems.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we did that is maybe possibly in the future we tie these into the SERS system for a more redundant system on those mm-hmm. rather than microwave reliant.
All right. So are the RFPs and the grant applications hardwired together? How does that work?
So there's discussion of the grant applications in the RFP. Right now, what the RFP says is that the county is looking at potential sources of funding from the federal government and the Wyoming Business Council. Okay. The whole way that we designed the RFP was to assume that we would get enough funding to move forward, but in no way is that binding. So the two could be submitted at separate times. But of course, the two function as, you know, different facets of one strategy.
Right. Would it be best to see what the response of the RFP is before you move forward with the grant application, or not necessarily?
I would defer that to Heather. Heather, did you hear the question? Go ahead.
I did hear the question.
Okay. Hold on one moment. Commissioner
sure.
Noble is about to speak.
Heather, will you touch base on the grant, that this is just the proposal for the grant, that this is the first step, and that...
Correct. Let me add something as well, and then Heather can add further if she likes. The reason we think it's worth going forward with the grant now is because it you are not locked in no matter what the outcome of either of these processes, and it just provides a whole lot more information so the county knows better where it stands. If the federal grant funding comes through, then you have a better sense of what the economics of this will entail and are in a better position to do the detailed negotiations with the potential private partner. The reason, frankly, that we accelerated the RFP process, ordinarily we would have said, let's do the grants first, make sure we've got the funding in place, and then select the partner. But we accelerated the RFP process here because the grant makers, both at the state and federal level, indicated that the grant application would be more convincing and more competitive if there was a lot of information about the private partner. So that if the grant application is concrete rather than sort of hypothetical about what the partnership looks like. So the strategy has been, let's proceed on all fronts with the greatest efficiency possible, because it's obviously we don't want to like just expend enormous amounts of effort that aren't necessary yet, but to do efficiently this first phase federal grant application and the RFP at the same time puts us in a position where the grant application is as competitive as possible, and you all will have more information if we have an indication from the federal government. When you are looking at the responses from the private partners, you'll know whether the federal government will really be a partner in this or not.
Okay.
And if I may add, the regional rep from the EDA asked that we include information about responses from the RFI and the plan for the RFP, because they know that they would be interested in who ultimately might be interested in using the infrastructure. So that is why that information is included in there. And again, this is the first step, the proposal, to see if the committee, the review committee, is interested. So once they show interest and ask us for a full application, the timing, which should work out, that we would know a lot more about the results of the RFP process at that point.
Okay, that answers my question. I have one other question, but I'll go ahead and defer to Commissioner Burnett, who has a comment.
Heather, this question may be for you with regards to the grant. Do we have any timeline or expectation down the road that if this grant is approved, when it might be awarded, and will that be within this fiscal year?
Yeah, so we were very strategic about timing for getting this proposal in. With the start of the new federal fiscal year, we know that they're going to have a fresh allocation for the Denver region and for all regions in the EDA, which is a 10-state region that includes Wyoming. And that means that we're not competing as hard as we would have at the end of the 2017 fiscal year. They do have generally outline timing that after you submit a proposal, they will within 30 days respond with whether or not they're interested in moving forward. Assuming that they are, we have a lot more rote bureaucratic red tape paperwork to fill out and to answer any questions or make any refinements to our full application, which would include the narrative, maybe slightly expanded based on comments back from the committee. And then once we submit the full application, they should review it and give us a response within 60 days, which means that timing-wise, we would be looking at mid to late spring for when we can expect to see funding approval. And then that would be hopefully available to us within certain parameters, depending on the agreements, but by the spring, late spring. Did that make sense?
Yeah, and I guess the reason I'm asking, we have the mayor of Pinedale here, and of course the towns have committed money to this in their budgets for this year. So the question was just trying to see if we could meet that timeline, because I'm not so sure that if it goes beyond this fiscal year that the other two towns may have that line item continued in their budget.
Understood. And the budget that I sent over, again, and we mentioned this, I think, previously, we had a brief discussion that, you know, EDA may come back after the proposal and say, hey, you know, we really like this project, but, you know, we want you to ask for less money for the grant. So even that draft budget is very much a draft and can be revised based on decisions that you guys make after the proposal process is complete.
Okay, thank you.
Joanne, this is Andy. Touching bases with you on our original contract, does all of this fall within our not to exceed limit?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Michael or Joanne, gentlemen? It appears at this point we need to give the go-ahead to release the RFP, and we would need to do that by motion.
I make a motion that we move forward with the go-ahead on the RFP and the grant proposal.
I would second that motion.
It has been moved and seconded that we proceed forward with the RFPs and the grant applications. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Carry on, Joanne.
Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Joanne.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. You keep us posted.
Yes, I will.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Great.
Great.
Touch on the phone.
Great.
Yeah, we are. We're back on time again. That's a good deal. We'll go ahead and take another 5-minute break, and then we'll reconvene again. Oh, hold on. Before we break here, Bill, would you like to address the commission? Real quick, this would be a good time if you're so inclined. Come on up.
Matt, hold on a minute for a break.
See you.
Michael, I want to grab you.
Yeah, go ahead and have a seat.
Thanks.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning again.
I've got clean clothes on today.
Is your house clean?
Huh?
Is your house survived?
The house did. The barn didn't. But you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
I got a family. Everybody's safe.
That's right.
Yeah.
My dog was right there. She's happy. So good.
Beautiful.
Good deal.
All right. So thank you. I really want to, on behalf of the entire community of Bondurant, Hoback Ranches, and all the people exposed to the fire, which is a large part of the county at this point, I want to thank you personally, the entire commission, for your support, for Tom and David also for coming up there and visiting with us. David has been instrumental in communicating with me back and forth on some issues that were important, like where to put the trash, and that is very important if questions are coming up. We are forever grateful for the entire community. The people have reached out throughout Sublette County and Sweetwater County to bring aid to our residents. I think, as you know, we have 55 people that totally lost everything. Some of these people are, some are lawyers that have good insurance, but we have many people that do not have insurance that are living on Social Security and living in their cabin. And so we're trying to help them like you will. And that's one of the things we like about Sublette County is people forget all the politics, forget all that. When time comes to get together, the county has gotten together and supported the entire community. So we have other issues we have to talk about later, but I wanted to share with you that is our firm belief. We're not even trying to do anything but say thank you and wish that you continue your support, and I'll leave it at that. I know you have another meeting this afternoon, and David and you guys will get some statistics from the sheriff that we provided to him. We literally contacted every homeowner, either by mail or by email, over the past couple days, so we have very, very accurate data on who's there, who's not there. So that will be shared at your meeting this afternoon. So,
terrific. Bill, thank you for the update, and our thoughts and prayers and actions will be with you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments at the meetings, too. They were very helpful. I mean,
people were kind of spooled up, as you can imagine.
Yeah. So what you did that one evening was a great
part help. Of my job is corralling the cats and keeping people calm. So
it was helpful.
So, good.
Yeah. Effective leadership in your community. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. We will go ahead and take a 5-minute break then, and Rob will be ready for you.
Matt?